Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 11. Kalam Sharantam Srijatisha Aishrayam. Kalam Sharantam Srijatisha Aishrayam. Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satchakrit. Thank you. Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satchakrit. Kalam Charantam Srijatisha Aishwaram. Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satchakrit. Kalam Charantam Srijatisha Aishrayam. Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satchakrit. Pardon me, I need glasses. I was actually seeing an I in there between the A and the S there, but it doesn't exist. It's Ashrayam. So, Kalam Charantam Srijatisha Ashrayam. Others like to? Kalam Charantam Srijatisha Ashrayam. Pradana Pumbyam Naradeva Satchakrit. Ladies. Kalam, time. Charantam, moving. Srijati, creates. Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ashrayam, shelter. Pradana, for the material energy. Pumbyam, and the living entity. Naradeva, O ruler of men, Satya, true, Krit, creator. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O great King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor, nor under the material energy. One should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor, but as the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time, both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor, but the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time. For time has been created by Him. To be more clear, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 7, the Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujamiham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice of descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Since Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the control of everything, when he appears, he is not within the limitations of material time. Janma karma chame divyam. In this verse, the words kalam charantam srijatisha asrayam indicate that although the Lord acts within time, whether sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun is prominent, one should not think that the Lord is under time's control. Time is within his control, for he creates time to act in a certain way. He is not working under the control of time. The creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when rajagun is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for rajagun. Similarly, he also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitation of time. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller, Sat Chidananda Vigraha. He possesses a blissful spiritual body, Anadi. He is not subordinate to anything. As the Lord confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchirasti Dhananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Nothing can be above Krishna, for he is the controller and creator of everything. The Mayavadi philosophers say that this material world is mithya, false, and that one should therefore not bother about this mithya creation, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But this is not correct. Here it is said, Satyakrit, whatever is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyam Param, cannot be called mithya. The cause of the creation is Satya, true. So how can the effect of the cause be mithya? The very word Satyakrit is used to establish that everything created by the Lord is factual, never false. The creation may be temporary, but it is not false. Maham Vishnu Badaya Krishna Pastaya Buddha Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pastachari Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pabunachananda Shirvaita Gadadar Shivasari Gauru Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, above and beyond. Those are two words that come to my mind. Above and beyond. Krishna is above and beyond the system that he has devised and is put in place to govern and hopefully positively develop the wayward spiritual offspring here in the material world. He's above and beyond it. And that's one aspect or one point that comes out in this very deep translation and purport. But that's not a difficult thing to understand, how Krishna's above and beyond, you know, what the system he's created. Just like, to give an analogy, Srila Prabhupada came from India to give us Krishna consciousness. And to that end, he gave us different rules and regulations to follow, like, you know, get up, come to Mangal Arati, chant japa, you know, Green Aditi's group, Bhaktam, etc., etc. So if Prabhupada didn't follow those, that's not a defect in any way. In other words, like the understanding among the followers, the first generation followers of Prabhupada, was that if Prabhupada didn't come to Mangal Arati, for instance, nobody was thinking that, oh, Prabhupada didn't come to Mangal Arati, that's not good. That's something wrong. He's gonna get a reaction for that. Nor did was anybody foolish enough to think, oh, Prabhupada came to Mangal Arati, that's good. That's going to help him in his Krishna consciousness. He's going to have some good results from that. No. Everybody can understand, even as neophyte as we were, everybody can understand that Prabhupada is above and beyond that. You know, this is these rules and regulations that he's given to us, that's something that we need to help us, that he can see that we need to help us progress, advance in Krishna consciousness. But it's not something that he needs. He doesn't have to follow those things. He's above and beyond that. Prabhupada doesn't need to become Krishna. We need to become Krishna conscious, and therefore we need that those guidelines and that system. Prabhupada doesn't need to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was perfectly Krishna conscious. So whether he followed them or didn't follow them, it was, you know, didn't make any difference as far as it was inconsequential. So in that sense, we, you know, from that analogy, we can understand above and beyond. So just like Prabhupada was above and beyond the system of like sadhana bhakti that he introduced to us. So in the same way, Krishna is above and beyond this system of the three modes, time and the way the three modes of material nature interact with it. That's set up, you know, as a way of, as I said, governing and with the intention of helping the, ideally helping the wayward spiritual offsprings progress in their recovery towards, you know, spiritual health. So Krishna's above and beyond that. So therefore, just like with Prabhupada, anything Prabhupada did, devotees could understand. Okay, it's perfect. And as far as Krishna consciousness goes, it's perfect. You know, if Prabhupada was riding in a rickshaw, it doesn't happen often, but and there, I remember hearing one pastime Prabhupada was, maybe it was Howard Station or something like that. They were on some preaching engagement and they'd been going for like, you know, many hours. It was very an intense schedule. And at one point, Prabhupada just had, you know, the driver or the devotee stop, and he bought a kachuri from a kachuri wala, you know, on the side of the tracks there at Howrah Station. And he, Hare Krishna, and he ate it. Prabhupada could do it. Why? Because somebody, you know, near the fight devotee might think, oh, how's that possible? You can't, this man is, we don't even know if he's a vegetarian, if he's, how could, you know, accept grains cooked by a non-devotee? It wasn't in the Dham, you know, it was outside. But there's a higher principle, which the neophyte, you know, might not be able to appreciate. That, you know, Prabhupada was perfectly Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was totally absorbed in, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness, trying to give every ounce of his energy and being to try to, you know, compassionately deliver Krishna consciousness to the fallen conditioned souls. And if he felt he needed to just replenish his bodily energy, and then that just happened to be the convenient arrangement at that moment, that's perfectly Krishna consciousness. It's, you know, it apparently he's violating a rule and regulation, but it's in doing that, he's only doing that in the process of upholding a higher principle or following a higher principle, which is more important. So in the same way, you know, it just there's different examples of even Krishna doing that in the Mahabharata, where he actually he told Yudhishthira to tell a lie to so that Dronacharya could be killed, and he gave Arjuna the instruction to kill Karna when he was down fixing the wheel of his, you know, his wheel got caught in the mud, and the wheel of his chariot got caught in the mud, and he was down fixing it, and you know, everybody's familiar with those pastimes. And also, Bhima was instructed to hit Duryodhana below the waists in order that he could incapacitate him and eventually kill him like this. But it's all perfect. None of these things are really violations, you know. If when understood in the proper perspective, it's all, you know, perfect. It's no defect on the part of Krishna or the spiritual master. They are, you know, all good, absolute. Just like there's one actually interesting example of this. How this understanding is important, and there's an example of how important it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was this one pastime where Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, and he was being visited on a regular daily basis by this young boy. And the young boy, he was this son, he was, you know, I guess he was between 5 and 10 years old, because he was able to, he could speak, he was able to have a conversation with Lord Chaitanya. At one point it's mentioned that he was, you know, Lord Chaitanya was asking him about all kinds of news. So the boy was able to have a conversation with Lord Chaitanya, at least to some extent, and he was able to, you know, go there freely every day. You know, he came on his own and he, like that. So, Damodar Pandit was kind of becoming disturbed by this. This boy was, you know, nice young boy and everything. He seemed bright and intelligent. But Damodar Pandit knew that this he was the son of a Brahmin, an Arisan Brahmin who had passed away. And his mother was young, you know, attractive woman. And, of course, she was single. So he was concerned that you know, this was going to adversely affect Lord Chaitanya's reputation, that people were going to gossip, that why is this sannyasi associating with this young boy who is mother is a widow and, you know, young and attractive, you know. So Damodar Pandit was concerned to protect the reputation of Lord Chaitanya. So one day, you know, after repeated failed attempts to stop the boy from coming, you know, restrict the boy from coming, Damodar Pandit used to instruct him, okay, don't come, you know, go home, blah, blah. The boy ignored him because, you know, the boy was old enough to understand that Lord Chaitanya likes me coming. So he just ignored Damodar Pandit and we go to see Lord Chaitanya. And Damodar Pandit, you know, he didn't try to physically restrain him. Obviously, there was nothing he could do about it. So this became intolerable at some point to Damodar Pandit. And Damodar Pandit, after the boy left one time, he went to Lord Chaitanya and he said, what, you know, what kind of teacher are you? That, you know, what are people going to, you know, say when they, you know, what kind of example is this? And, you know, so Lord Chaitanya, he could appreciate, which was inappropriate for him to do. So Lord Chaitanya could appreciate the sentiment that he was out of affection trying to protect his reputation. So he could appreciate that. But at the same time, it was enough of a discrepancy that Lord Chaitanya, you know, considering the whole thing, decided to change his service, which he did. He actually changed, I think the next day after he said that, when he came back, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you know, like, tactfully, in a nice way, he told him that he informed him that, okay, we're going to change your service now. Your service now will be to go back to Navadvipa and bring news to my mother of how I'm doing here and how my happiness here at Jagannath Puri. And I think you're the appropriate person to do that because, and I want you to, you know, be accede to her welfare. Nobody can act independently around you because, you know, you're such a strict follower of the religious principles. He was being a little bit sarcastic there, but, you know, he's pointing out to him that he was giving him, you know, a new service. He was giving him, you know, correction, but at the same time, you know, giving him another service at the same time in a very subtle way, pointing out the flaw, the defect in his behavior, you know, correcting him at the same time. So anyway, the point being that, yeah, it's a pretty high priority as far as understandings go to have this understanding that the Supreme Lord and the pure devotee, who is the representative of the Supreme Lord, the external manifestation of the Supersoul, are above and beyond the rules and regulations, above and beyond criticism. And that's an important, you know, understanding for devotees to have. There's one, actually this verse appeared in one of the purports in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada was describing this pastime. He quoted this one verse, Yadyapi Nichananda Sura Bhadiyaya Tatapio Haya Nichanandaraya, which means, translation is, even if I see that Lord Nichananda has entered a liquor shop, I shall not be diverted from my conclusion that Nichananda Roy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, everybody should have that understanding. The king can do no wrong. Prabhupada actually quotes that phrase in his Bhagavad Gita purport to the chapter text 14 of chapter 4. King can do no wrong. And he also makes the point in that purport that he gives the example of how, you know, sometimes devotees or not devotees, but people are thinking, oh, you know, we can do the rasa dance or sometimes the followers of Lord Shiva are thinking like, well, you know, Lord Shiva, he took intoxications. We can take intoxications. But Prabhupada, in his purport, he presents the challenge. Okay, you think you can do the rasa dance? Well, first of all, lift Govardhan Hill. And then we'll give you the green light. Then you're qualified to do the rasa dance. Or in the case of Lord Shiva, first of all, drink an ocean of poison, because Lord Shiva wants to protect the demigods. He drank an ocean of poison and was not adversely affected by that, except for he got a blue line on his throat, Nilakanta. But, you know, if they can do that, then okay. Then they have the license, and you can smoke marijuana. But, you know, since nobody can do that, so therefore we can't try to imitate exactly. We have to just appreciate that, you know, those who are, like, incredibly, you know, powerful, like the Supreme Lord or his bona fide representative, they can do anything and everything, and it's okay. You know, they're in a different category. Just one more example on this point. Just like, you know, if say you're learning a musical instrument like a piano, so you might sit down there. If you're a brand new person, the piano teacher gives you some guidelines. Says, okay, don't look at your fingers. Just look at the music. Don't look down. You know, you have to learn. You know, you have to memorize where the different keys are on the keyboard, and don't look down at your fingers while you're playing, and keep your fingers curled. You know. And that's the way to do it. And, you know, the student has to practice like that. And then one day the teacher might demonstrate, you know, some sort of a, just to kind of like inspire the student, he might demonstrate playing some piece of music that's, you know, not exactly on the beginner's level, something that's like, you know, some jazz or blues or whatever. And, you know, he might just smack the keyboard with his palms or something like that, or, you know, just back of his hands or anything, you know, and he might look at the music, or, you know, he might look right down at it. And the student might go, "Wait, what's going on? You told me that's for you, you know. At your level, this is the rules and regulations for you. But, you know, when you become expert, when you get to a higher level, it's, you know, you go right beyond that." So anyway, I think everybody can understand that point. So it's also mentioned in this purport about, let's say here. Whenever there is a decline in religious practice or descent of Bharata and a predominant rise of a religion, at that time I descend myself. So it's giving it's talking about how one part of the little bit reason why Krishna comes into the material world and is able to act, you know, independently of these rules and regulations which he's, you know, set up for the rest of us to follow, and that is to, you know, for the purpose of delivering fallen conditioned souls. That's, you know, that's Krishna's mission. And of course, that's, you know, that's Krishna's mission. That's all the mission of all the genuine followers of Krishna, and that's our mission. We inherit that as well. And so, you know, today is the first of event here. You know, it's called the monthly Sankirtan Festival. We're trying to start this program here in New Dwarka, which has already been successfully done in other, you know, places, other parts of the country. So it's a new program for us, pretty much, but it's not a new idea.
Way back in, even here in Los Angeles.
Right here in Los Angeles back in 1969. Prabhupada was instructing the devotees here. He said, so this process is beneficial to the public. Even a small child who joins, he also claps, tries to clap. So this Krishna consciousness movement is not to remain in a secluded place to get cheap advertisement. Oh, this man is meditating. No, practically, go, practically, work. He says, no question of going into a secluded place. We should remain in the congested city and preach this Krishna consciousness movement without being affected by this contamination of city life. That is perfection. So as I said, the program may be new, but the idea is as old as the Krishna consciousness movement is here. And that Prabhupada said, that was from a lecture Prabhupada gave in 1968 here in Los Angeles, I guess back at the former temple on La Cienega Boulevard there. So the idea is old, and Prabhupada, you know, so Prabhupada gave us that mandate way back then. It's actually almost 45 years ago now, 44 years ago. And he gave us, you know, all the guidelines as well, how to go about it, like in terms of our, you know, the way we should deal with people and our attitude. Here's an interesting instruction from Prabhupada. He said, everyone in this material world is very much fond of getting honor, although he's not honorable. Still, he wants to get honor. Although he is unfit, still he wants. That is material propensity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you give them honor. Don't ask for yourself any honor. respect, but others you give them. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. So, you know, we got everything already from Prabhupada, how to go about this, or we got the instruction to do it and how to do it, the attitude we should have towards what the outcome. Here's an interesting, this is from, I believe, the Krishna book. Prabhupada gives us a very important instruction here about the attitude, you know, how we should, our mentality towards, you know, the results of our efforts. He says, this is actually Krishna speaking to the cowherd boys after they went to the Jagyik Brahmins to beg charity on behalf of him and Balaram, and they came back unsuccessful because the Jagyik Brahmins just basically ignored them, and they didn't appreciate the position of Krishna or Balaram. So Prabhupada says, he, meaning Krishna, told them that they should not be sorry for being refused by the brahmanas, because that is the way of begging. He convinced them that one who is engaged in collecting or begging, preaching, should not think that he will be successful everywhere. He may be successful in some places, but that should not be... He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be the cause for disappointment. So, you know, of course, there's many other instructions along those lines that, you know, devotees shouldn't be get discouraged if things don't work out exactly the way we want them to. Here's another nice instruction. It says, whether a man understands Krishna philosophy or not, we don't care. Of course, if he understands, it is a great pleasure for us. But we are working on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. That should be our philosophy. Don't be disappointed that the whole day you work and you get no collection and nobody was interested in Krishna consciousness. No, don't be disappointed. You have worked sincerely the whole day. That is your credit. That's all. That's your credit. Krishna will see. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna wants to see how much you are spending your valuable life and energy for him. That's all. Don't be disappointed that many men are not coming here and that we are poorly pushing on. Never mind. And one last thing he said, this is an excerpt from another letter. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj used to say, if somebody said, we went to preach in such and such a place and only there were three or four attendants. So my Guru Maharaj used to encourage them that, and it is factual, that why two, three men when there was, why two, three men were there sufficient? It's basically two or three men are sufficient. If there were none, you could speak to the walls and you could hear. Why are you disappointed? So in other words, the same idea. Bhava hi gunan. Krishna appreciates the sincere effort. So there's no question of, of failure for a devotee. Just if we're sincerely trying to execute this instruction of sharing Krishna consciousness with other people, we're successful just by that effort. You know, the endeavor is the perfection. And how are we doing for time? Another thing is that we're meant to try to do this to the degree that we even approach people who have been rejected, you know, who are otherwise rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's another quality that we have to try to develop. And the example of that comes from the, there's an example of that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's that pastime where Lord Chaitanya was traveling and he had that servant Kala Krishnadas who was traveling with him, and he became a victim of the Bataharis, and Lord Chaitanya had to rescue him, which he did, and he didn't say anything, you know, then he continued to travel with him for the rest of the trip. Lord Chaitanya, you know, he continued to perform his service. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything further about it, but when he returned to Jagannath Puri, when he had the opportunity, he dismissed him from his service. And, you know, he informed the other devotees why he was doing that, his other confidential associates why he was doing that. And so Kala Krishnadas kind of felt the pieces. You know, he maybe expected something was coming, maybe didn't, I don't know, but he really kind of got very emotionally affected by that. He broke down, he was weeping and like that, and he was, you know, obviously he was very disturbed by the whole thing. And so the devotees had compassion on him. And there's this one verse here, it says, after this, you know, that incident, the other devotees headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Jagannanda, Mukunda, and Damodar began to consider a certain plan. So in the purport to that, Prabhupada says, even though a person is rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, The devotees of the Lord do not reject him. Therefore, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Payeche Kevan. One cannot be relieved from material clutches without engaging in the service of pure devotees. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. Thus, Kala Krishna Das received the mercy of the four devotees mentioned above. So that's something to aspire for, you know, to develop that kind of attitude, that type of quality, that we're trying to, you know, understand the inner intention of the Lord and, you know, even try to help those people who would be otherwise condemned, you know, by you know, or disregarded by Krishna himself. And there's one other reference to that where this is from a lecture Prabhupada gave. He says, those who are absorbed in too much material consciousness, do not disturb them. That's Prabhupada's paraphrasing a verse from, I think, the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But then Prabhupada goes on to say, but the devotees take risks, even at the cost of life. Therefore, the devotees are so dear to Krishna. And actually, earlier in that this lecture, Prabhupada is making the point that Krishna says, Madbhakta Pujayadika, that for that reason, you know, the devotees are so dear to Krishna that that Krishna considers that one who worships his devotee, he actually worships better than if he's worshiping Krishna directly, because Krishna is so pleased with the devotees for having that sort of a, you know, attitude and that sort of, you know, compassionate attitude. So I think I could stop there. That's all the points I wanted to make. Does anybody have any questions or comments about any of these different things?
From another angle of vision, like, I also like your example about above and beyond and giving Prabhupada as an example. So in a similar way, sometimes, like, if we would have to take a poll right now, and at least in India, who are followers of the very culture, this word Krishna very unattractive. How is it that if you will have to take a poll between Ram and Krishna, most of the people will go for Ram? Correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the Hindus will say Ram is more popular, is more attractive. So the word attractive, in which sense can we understand it? Because he transgresses all the rules, and most of the people cannot, you know, like, even they say, oh no, Krishna, no. He does this and he does that. So does that mean that he's only attracted to some selected, pious person who can understand him?
Well, the thought that comes to my mind is, of course, Ram is, you know, Ram and Krishna are both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so there's no really, you know, no fault that people are attracted to Ram. But what's that verse? You know, you have to have some qualification, perhaps, to be attracted to Krishna, some purification, something. Is, you know, he's the most attractive. He's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. But people who aren't sufficiently purified just can't appreciate that. That doesn't mean that, you know, I wish I could think of an example or an analogy, but Krishna has that quality, but if people aren't able to appreciate that, that's not a defect. That doesn't detract from the fact that Krishna does possess that quality. And I don't know, somebody help me out here, Arjuna? Yeah.
The real answer is that because they're less intelligent. Whatever you're attracted to is Krishna's energy. Either an direct expansion, like if you're attracted to Ram or Narasimha or Varaha or whatever, it's Krishna's direct expansion. And if you're attracted to the material energy, that's also Krishna's energy. So that's why Krishna is called all attractive. Whatever you're attracted to, that's actually Krishna's energy. So you can't avoid it. But those who are most intelligent, who have some realization that all of that is expanding from Krishna, then they become attracted to Krishna.
Yep, good words. You want to add something?
I was just going to say the same thing. Because, you know, you look at the material. If you see a flower and you think it's beautiful, you know, a materialistic person would just think, oh, that flower, I'm going to give it to the person I love. It's so beautiful, let me give it to my wife, let me give it to my girlfriend. So there's beauty all around us, and we're all attracted to that beauty, but they just don't understand the deeper cause, which is the Supreme Lord. And so as you progress, then you actually see Krishna behind everything. And then you marvel at his attractiveness, his power, his renunciation, his beauty, his wealth. And then as you make more advancement, then you realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everyone's attracted to Krishna, everyone, from the most neophyte all the way up to the pure devotee of the Lord, Mahabhagavat, but in different levels of faith and knowledge.
That last point that Suhas just made is most important, that the more knowledge you acquire, if you understand that Krishna is the source of all of it, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchit, Ananda Vigraha, all the other forms, Ramana, Sringa, etc., they're all complete, and there's no harm or loss or something less in being attracted to those forms. But if you develop more knowledge and understand that Krishna is the source of it, that's the point. Krishna is most attractive because he's the source of it all.
Right, so the more a person's appreciation develops of, you know, where it's all coming from, the more they're advancing in spiritual life. Anybody else have any other, Dr. Josh?
Is there any problem with worshiping like all different forms of Krishna, like Nrsimha and Ram, why can't all of them being, are they all included in one package or something?
Yeah, it's actually not bad. I mean, you know, if you're worshiping any form of Krishna, like as you mentioned, Srinivasa Varaha, that's okay. But at the same time, Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the 18th chapter, in the purport to that, I think it's 1865, you know, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta, it's either that verse or the next one. Savadamam, you know, abandon all varieties of religion. One of those two verses in the purport, Prabhupada says, so one should focus his mind upon Krishna, the very form that's standing before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and, you know, two hands holding a flute, and not divert his mind to any of the other forms of Krishna. And he actually mentions, you know, he says this one, and I can't remember the actual names of the forms he mentioned. So it's kind of like, you know, good, better, and best. I think if somebody's worshiping Vishnu, Narayan, you know, Nrsimha, Varaha, that's good. That's perfection. That's perfection, and there's more perfect than most perfect. And so it's not bad, but it seems like, from what I can understand, most perfect is if you're worshiping the two, you know, it's eightfold playing the flute form of Krishna like that. That's, you know, the highest sort of devotional understanding. Yeah.
The point is that it's all absolute. Yeah. Again, Rama, Nrsimha, or
Varaha, Korma.
Varaha. But the form of Krishna is special. The nectar devotion gives so many other qualities, additional qualities and pastimes that Krishna exclusively engages in, and those are most attractive. There's, although it's one, it's still different.
Okay, so it's time 8:15. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.